begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father in heaven, Lord, we pray thee that thou wouldst be glorified in all aspects of our lives. Father, we look to praise thee. We know, Lord, that thou art worthy of all the praise that we can render unto thee. And so may our minds be focused accordingly. Lord, may we absorb what thy Spirit would have us to absorb this afternoon and throughout this day, Lord, that we would be edified in our faith before thee, that we would walk pleasing before thee, that we would follow in the way that thou wouldst have us to go. And so we just pray thee that thy Spirit would be in our midst, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this afternoon's reading, let's turn to the Gospel according to St. John and read from chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 39. John 4, 39.
Sveto evanđelje po Jovanu, 4. glava, početak čitanja da bude na 39. stihu.
Before we begin, maybe just a little background, a little reminder that Jesus has left Judea and he's making his way back up to Galilee, and he passed through Samaria and he met the woman there at Jacob's well, and they had their dialogue, and she went to the city of Sychar there where the Jacob's well was, and she reported to the people there that she had seen the Messiah. And so the Apostle John continues here in verse number 39 and writes, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all things that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.' Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. I recognize that over the last few weeks we've had a number of sermons on the topic of faith, and this afternoon, yet it is another reading of the topic of faith, but I would like to focus perhaps on the aspect of having faith without having any benefit of seeing. And Jesus Christ here speaks to this nobleman and he says, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And so it is imperative on our part that we do have this faith, that we know that God is real, we know that he is true, we see the evidence of his workings, but yet we do not see. But yet we do have faith. And so we see through a reading such as this that there were many who responded to the Lord Jesus Christ in various aspects of faith. And we'll read some of that together. Some having nothing that they have seen yet believed, and yet others have seen and did also yet believe. So Jesus here was in Jerusalem and he was there for the Passover, and then he made his way from Jerusalem through Samaria and then into Galilee. And then while he was there in Samaria, he spoke to this woman at the well who had four husbands, and the man that she was now living with was not her husband. And so Jesus had spoken to her and revealed to her himself, and that he was the Christ. And she came to believe that, and she went to the city and reported it to the city that she had met the Messiah. She said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. And so the men there at the city of Sychar, where she went into, they believed her word. Here was a woman who was really living in adultery because she was living with a man who was not her husband. And there were men that heard her testimony that there was this man there at the Jacob's well that told her everything that she ever did. And so she went and she reports this to the men of the city, and the men believed her. They believed that testimony they had, as we read here in verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. These were very men of faith, of great faith, in that they saw no miracle. There was nothing and they didn't even see Jesus himself. And yet they believed on this testimony of this adulterous woman who testified of Jesus Christ. And so they were blessed because they believed in Jesus, even though they never saw him. They hadn't seen him yet at this point, and they saw no miracle that he did. It says, So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now the men had this opportunity over these two-day time frame where they could hear Jesus, and they could hear his message, and they could see that this was truly the Christ, the Savior of the world. They believed that of him, and so they tell the woman, well, we don't need to hear your testimony anymore. We've heard him ourselves, and we believe that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so they were on a different level. They were on a different plane than the men who believed just the testimony of the woman. Here, these other Samaritan men heard Christ themselves and believed. They saw no miracle. It says that simply that they heard him. They didn't see anything. They heard him of themselves, and they know and they believed that he was the Christ, the Savior of the world. So after that 2-day time frame had expired, he departed from thence and went into Galilee. And when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So here he arrives. It's about 40 miles from Sychar up to Cana, where he went, and he's spending time there. And the Galileans are receiving him gladly because whatever it was, a couple days before, a couple weeks before, they were all together down in Jerusalem together, carrying out the festival of the Passover together. And they saw the miracles that he did there, and so the Galileans were glad to receive him there up in Galilee. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. So here it was that here's another man. There was the Samaritans that he interacted in days past, and now he's interacting with a nobleman who was this Galilean. He was of the highest class of society. As a nobleman, that's who you are. You're a landowner, and you are wealthy, and you are very affluent and powerful in as part of this nobleman class of society that he was of. So here it was that Jesus was interacting with multiple different people of different levels of society. And so this nobleman comes to Jesus in Cana, and he had a son that was sick in Capernaum. And so while he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So here's this nobleman. Though he has wealth, though he's in the upper echelon of society, he has a need. He has a great need because he has a son. Clearly, he loves him very much, and this son is at the point of death. This is a very serious situation for this nobleman. And he knows that Jesus can do these great things. And so he comes to Jesus, and he has this, he comes with importunity. He comes with a desire to seek him out and know that Jesus can do these things. But Jesus responds to him and says, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." You saw here in Cana when I made the water wine, you people saw that then. And you believed when you saw that water change to wine. And you saw the miracles that happened in Jerusalem. And so Jesus is saying, except ye see these signs and wonders, you will not believe. Why won't you come to the point that you can simply believe that I am the Messiah, Jesus says. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die. Come down quickly to Capernaum. My son is at the point of death. Just please come." And Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." A beautiful expression that Jesus says to him. Just that beautiful words of comfort. Thy son liveth. Yes, he's at the point of death. Yes, Jesus understands all things, understands how the body was created, how it's working, all things about his son's body. He was aware of it all, and Jesus simply says, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And it says that the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. He believed it. He believed it. Though this nobleman hadn't seen the evidence of that, He believed it, that Jesus says, "Thy son liveth." And so he believed. He believed. Though he didn't see anything yet he believed. And so he went his way. And as he was now going down to Capernaum, the servants that he has, because he's a nobleman, he has wealth and affluence, and he has these servants, and the servants are making their way to him in Cana as he's making his way from Cana down to Capernaum. And they meet each other, and the servants have some beautiful words to say to this nobleman. It's the same three words that Jesus Christ said to the nobleman: "Thy son liveth." How it must have rejoiced this nobleman's heart to hear this report that his son lives. And so the nobleman asks his servants, "Well, there may be a connection here. I think there's a connection here. What time was it that his fever left him?" And the servants responded by saying, "Well, it was yesterday, about the seventh hour." And this nobleman knows, "Well, yep, that's the same exact time that Jesus told me that to go my way because my son lives." And so he had this faith. He believed. And it says that after he heard that report, that he himself believed and his whole house. They had come to this point where yes, he believed, even though he didn't see the evidence of that miracle happening yet. now he knows that that miracle happened, and it says that he himself believed and his whole house. So we could see that even in these short verses that we read together, that there were Samaritan men who never saw and never heard the words of Jesus, yet believed. There were Samaritan men who heard the words of Jesus and believed. There were Galileans who saw his work in Jerusalem and believed. And then there was this nobleman who believed before and after the miracle that had transpired. And his disciples, when Jesus made the water to be wine, we read in chapter 2 that when he did that miracle, that the beginning of the miracles which Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. The disciples believed on Jesus when they saw this first miracle that he had done of changing this water to wine. Again, when they saw the miracles which he had done. Also in chapter 2, it speaks of the time when Jesus was at the Passover in Jerusalem just earlier. And it says here that, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name. When? When they saw the miracles which he did. When they saw the miracles. This is when they come to the point of having faith, of believing, is after they saw. So we know that the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is impossible for us to please God without faith. There were those that had faith, had come to belief without seeing or without seeing Jesus or seeing his miracles or seeing him himself. There were those that came to that faith, and there were those that came to faith also after they saw. But we know that it is impossible to please God without faith. So we know that we have to come to faith. We have to come to faith in order to please God. There's no other way to please God. We have to believe that he is, that he exists, that he is true. In this chapter 4 that we've read together, Jesus says that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. We don't see spirits. We don't see spirits. And so the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And then in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse number 1, speaks of the definition of faith. Now faith is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. We weren't there when Jesus did all these miracles that we read about in the Gospels. We weren't there. None of us were there. We didn't see the empty tomb. We didn't see him there upon the cross when he shed his blood for our sins. We weren't there. We didn't see those things. And yet we believe. Yet we believe. The world says that I'll believe it when I see it. But the Christian says, I'll see it when I believe it. When we can come to faith in believing that all things are possible with God, when we come to that point in our lives, seen or unseen, that it will be blessed for us. We will be blessed and we will be rich in our lives before him. And we will be able to glorify him. Because we want to go through this life knowing that God is a spirit and we can't see him. We don't need to have a proof or a sign or a miracle for us to come to faith, for us to come to a belief. And so may it not be as Jesus said here, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. May we not live a life where I need to see it. I need to see a miracle. I need to see a sign, then I'll believe. Jesus is saying, no, come to the point of faith without having to see a miracle, without having to see a sign. All things that we have need of to believe in here is recorded in God's word. We don't need anything more and beyond that. Let's not ask of God that he needs to show us some miracle that we are going to be able to pull through this thing that we are going through because we can see something, see a sign from Jesus, see a sign that God would show to us. Let's believe without seeing. Let's believe that God is a spirit and that we worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says that Jesus began his ministry. Jesus began his ministry with the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed is such a one that is in such a state." And so what is blessed? It's that deep calm of gladness, but that comes from a spiritual origin. That's what it means to be blessed, is to have that deep sense of calmness and that's filled in with gladness of the Lord. That it comes from a spiritual origin. And that's how it is for us to be blessed. That's how he began his ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ, in saying that, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, the merciful, the meek, the pure in heart, the peacemakers." But then he closes his ministry by speaking to Thomas. And he speaks to Thomas saying, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed." Then he says, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And now Jesus is closing his ministry here upon this earth by saying, "Blessed," or those that have not seen and yet have believed, they are the ones who have a deep calm of gladness that comes from a source that's spiritual and not anything circumstance-driven. Thomas had to see to believe. But Jesus speaks then to all of us that blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. We have circumstances in our lives that come up, and sometimes they're dire, just as it was for this nobleman where his son was at the point of death. There are circumstances that come in our lives as well that sometimes we just want to see a sign. Sometimes we just want to have some proof that God's going to do something here for me because I'm at a very critical position now in life. Something very critical is happening, and it could go either way. Do we need to have something to see, to believe? Or can we just trust in God? Can we just know that there is but one throne, and God sits on that throne? No man will ever dethrone him. He sits on that throne. He is in full control. And we can say and have that faith that we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. However he plays it out, we know that it's going to work for good. And so there might be some dire situations in our lives, or perhaps things that will come up, and maybe sooner than later, that will require that we have great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't need to seek for a sign, or we don't need to see a wonder, but yet we can just simply believe and know that his word is true and that we will be blessed, just as those that were poor in spirit, that mourned, that were meek, that were merciful, that were pure in heart, that were peacemakers, just as they are blessed, we would be blessed that having never seen, yet we believe. Yet we believe. And so John records here, and I just picture in my mind that he's perhaps there at the Isle of Patmos, banished there to the Isle of Patmos, and perhaps he's writing this gospel as he recalls, as a spirit would bring to his remembrance, the events that happened. and how he would remember that they were making their journey from the Passover in Jerusalem up through Samaria and into Galilee, and this nobleman comes along in all his dignity as he comes there in his wealth, and he approaches Jesus and he says, I have a great, great need, and my son is at the point of death. Come down before my child dies. And so John is there recalling these things as he's writing these scriptures out. And he's closing now this gospel in chapter 20. After he records the instance of Jesus coming before Thomas and saying, because you believed, because you saw, now you believed. But he's saying, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. He closes this chapter by saying, and many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. John wrote this gospel, and as he wrote this gospel, he knows that there are some things that he didn't write here that happened. He was aware of them, and they did happen, but the Spirit didn't inspire to him to write those things. He says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Sufficient is what is written here in the Bible for us to believe in Jesus' name, and that believing we might have life through his name. And so again, in our lives, we may come across some difficulties, some critical moments in our lives, but yet we can look to God's word and know that he is on the throne. No man will dethrone him. He ruleth and he ruleth wisely. His loving kindnesses are greater than anything that we could else desire, and that we can have life through his name. However, a situation may play out as God deems it best in the broader perspective rather than just simply in our own perspective of how we would like a situation to go, that we can know, that we can have faith in him, and he will do all things, again, together for good to those that love the Lord. These things are written that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. Amen.
This morning, as I was reading at home, I was looking for certain verses, and I came up to this chapter, the very same chapter. Did not read the whole chapter. I find it very interesting that my mind got stuck on these last 12, 13 verses the brother read. I did not know why I stopped there. And I read all these same verses and didn't just read them and went on to look for whatever I was looking for, but I was meditating upon it. God knew that this will be read today. I did not know. But my brother started reading, in my mind, I was thinking, I just read this morning. And even this morning, and even now, I'm thinking about this nobleman. This portion of this chapter speaks very much about faith, about the Samaritan's faith and this nobleman's faith. This nobleman had strong faith, then it increased, it became stronger, and then at the end, the strongest possible. He believed at the beginning because he looked for Jesus. He heard that he was there. He wanted to ask him to heal his son. That means he believed that he is able to. You don't just ask anyone, can you please heal my son or my daughter, whoever is sick. So he had this belief and faith that he is able to. And then he says to him, please come down before my son dies. He thought that he needs to come with him so that he can heal him. He had faith, but it still wasn't strong enough. And then his faith increased when Jesus says, go. Go thy way. Your son is living. He did not question him. What do you mean my son is okay? He went. He believed. Again, his faith got stronger. And then at the end, when the servant came, as we heard, and he says, your son liveth. So he needed another assurance. He wanted to know exactly what time it was when his son got better. And when he found out it was exactly the same time, then he says that he believed, even though he was faithful, and his whole house. That's when his faith got very, very strong. We also, dear beloved, we believe, but sometimes we need a little push. We need a little assurance. We need a little miracle. We need something in our life to make our faith stronger. And we do need it. So we pray to God, and I hope that we will continue praying to God to increase our faith. As the man, that when Jesus asked him, do you believe? He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. We all believe, and I know we do. That's why we are here. But sometimes we need a little more of assurance, a little miracle, a little something in life to make our faith stronger. And that is good. So we can be stronger in faith, so we can serve God more faithfully, so we can be faithful unto him, so that we can praise him, honor him, and glorify his holy name. And may God add a blessing to his word. Amen.